Acts chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. If you're standing with me, let's read it together. Verse 1, Acts chapter number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We know that Luke is the author of Acts. He goes on, verse 2, unto the day in which he was taken up, Jesus Christ. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost in many days hence. Look at verse 6 with me. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now look with me in verse 9 at what happens next. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. As I began this series on good news, the goal was to bring good news in the midst of unstable times. First, the first week we looked at the good news that Christ is our advocate. He is our advocate. And because of that, there is three specific things that we talked about was a benefit or good news that he is our advocate. Number one, we're acquitted and forgiven. And aren't you glad today that you stand in front of God Almighty, acquitted and forgiven? The second was we're accepted of the Father. The third was we are adopted into the family. Then last week, we celebrated Easter together. What a special day that was. We saw that we have good news because Jesus is alive. He is not here, but he is risen. And guess what? If that wasn't enough, I have some more good news. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 9, the Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I have some more good news for you this morning. He has ascended. Father, we come before you today. We ask for your power upon this message, upon your word, that you would bless it, God. I pray, Lord, that while we are watching from our vehicles or our kitchen table or whether we're at our on our couch or in the bedroom, wherever we are, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts today. Give us, Lord, a confidence in you today and give us, Lord, encouragement through you today as we recognize we have good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated wherever you are and you may pick up your cereal bowl again. Just kidding. Today, we're going to talk about the doctrine of the ascension, the doctrine of the ascension. And when you hear about the ascension, you might think to yourself, that's pretty straightforward. Jesus left the earth and went into heaven. And perhaps you're thinking today, how does the ascension really affect us today? And beyond that, you might be thinking, how is that good news? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because today I have three reasons why the ascension is good news for us today. The first is this. Number one, the first of all, because of the ascension, it assures us today that number one, we have a reigning ruler. Now I'm using my hands to make a symbol like a crown. We have a reigning ruler today. The ascension reminds us, listen to me this morning, The ascension reminds us that Christianity is not only a historical faith, but a faith that is present and right now in glorified humanity, sitting on the right hand of the universe, is wielding as the God-man all authority in heaven and in earth. You can read about that in Matthew chapter number 28. He is not just our suffering servant any longer who came and died and rose triumphant, but he is our actively ruling, actively conquering king. Amen. That's the king that you serve today. Despite the ignorance and negligence and animosity that there is towards him in the world today, he already is enthroned and is in his perfect timing and sovereign sway, bringing all his enemies under his feet. Jesus Christ is a reigning ruler. Today, I have a video that I'd love to show you. And this is a powerful, powerful video. The video was actually composed by Brother Moyer over at North Valley Baptist Church. Did a great job putting it together. But it is taken from a sermon preached by S.M. Lockridge. The title of the video, or the title of the sermon rather, is "That's My King." That's my King. Do you know him? Fellas, let's go ahead and play that video today.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the thief. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king.
And and sisters, we serve a reigning ruler. We serve a reigning, I hope that video was an encouragement to you. We serve a reigning ruler. Jesus is King. Jesus is our King. Why is it good news today that he has ascended? Because he is my King. He is my ruler. Hey, when we pillow our heads at night, Jesus is at work subduing his enemies. Our citizenship may not be recognized by the world today, but our citizenship is recognized by the highest authority in the land. Every morning that we wake up, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Every day we live, he lives high and lifted up. And even though his rule is not recognized by some of his own creation, we recognize his kingship today. We recognize his authority today. And while the world may not bend the waist now, there will come a day when all creation will bend the knee to his majesty. Today we serve a reigning ruler, Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's good news. Good news. He's our reigning ruler. Letter A here, Jesus, because he is our reigning ruler. He is our representative. He is our representative. Mark chapter number 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. We touched on this 2 weeks ago when we talked about Jesus being our advocate. Jesus is bodily with the Father. Here, listen to this. Jesus Christ went from here to there. Bodily in form, he went into heaven. He was with us, and then he was with the Father. He is our physical, bodily representative with God the Father. If you ever watch a news station, you might see where they have a journalist on a foreign field. And a lot of times the anchors, the news anchors might say, let's go to our man on the field, or let's go to our lady on the field in Shanghai, or let's go to the man on the field in Afghanistan, because that person on the field would become their representative in that location. And may I say today that Jesus Christ is our representative in bodily form in heaven because of the ascension. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast of our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because Jesus Christ is bodily with the Father today, because he ascended into heaven today, he is our representation in bodily form with the Father. Next here, because of the ascension, Jesus is not only our representative, but letter B, Jesus is our reason for living. He is our reason for living. Did you realize today that Christ is your reason for living? Did you recognize today that Jesus Christ is your reason for living? I said, Jesus Christ is your reason. Are you listening to me today? He is our reason for living today. Jesus Christ is our reason for living today. And we must recognize that. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what am I going to do now? Or what should I do now? That question was answered 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he paid by his blood for you. And now you belong to him. Now we belong to Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. We belong to Jesus Christ today. He is our reason for living today. You say, Pastor, what about the COVID-19? Hey, just live for Jesus. Hey, Pastor, I lost my job this weekend. I don't know what to do. Yes, you do know what to do. Live for Jesus today. You say, Pastor, well, what about tomorrow? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? It doesn't matter what this happens or what that happens. What matters today is that we belong to him and we must live for Jesus Christ. Because he is ascended, he is our representative. And because he is ascended, we must live for Jesus. He's the reason for living. Oh, today, that's good news, by the way. You know, people all over the world today are trying to find a reason for living, trying to figure out what the reason is. Why are we here? Oh, what's the point of all this? May I say today that the point of all of this is not to have a 75-inch flat screen QLED television, although that helps, amen. No, that's not the reason for living. The reason for living is not to eat your next meal. The reason for living is not even to leave some kind of a legacy. No, no, no. The reason for living today is Jesus Christ. He is the reason, and that's good news, because no matter what's going on in your life, you ended. And because he has ascended, we have a reigning ruler. But secondly today, it's good news that he has ascended because we have a resurrection road. We have a resurrection road. Look at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they yet beheld, there was no magic tricks. There was no smoke and mirrors. It wasn't like they turn around and they turn back and Jesus was gone. No, no, no. It said, while they yet beheld, as they watched him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? I believe that verse like I believe every verse of the Bible with every fiber. But Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven at that particular time, and he is still there today. I want you to think about this verse for a moment. Everything that Jesus did on earth, everything that Jesus said on earth, while on earth, they were just words. And yes, he did do miracles and showed his power on earth. But how did that power translate from the earth into heaven? When Jesus ascended into heaven, it showed us that what Jesus did here on earth translates to the afterlife, including raising his own body from the dead. Jesus' ascension did not just prove the promise that he would be resurrection, that he would be resurrected. It did not just prove the promise that we would be resurrected, but it actually paved the road to the resurrection. Jesus Christ's ascension mapped out our path to heaven because he's been there. Because they watched him go there. Without Jesus' ascension, there would be no evidence of our access to God. There'd be no final proof to our eternal salvation because of the ascension, and because he showed it to the disciples, and because he shows it in his word. Every human being that knows Christ as their Savior knows for sure they're going to heaven when they die. What a blessing. Or maybe before that, amen? Maybe the rapture will come. That would be even better. The ascension shows us the path, the map. It gives us a resurrection road. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 14 through 18 wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't for the ascension. Look at verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That word sleep is an old Bible word for who have been dead in Christ. He will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, just like Jesus was. You see, because of the ascension, we have a resurrection road. We will meet together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we. Pastor, do you really believe that we're someday going to be taken up into heaven? I believe that with every fiber of my being. And by the way, I'm not the only one. Maybe you're listening to this today and you don't know for sure heaven's your home. Listen, heaven's more real to me today than it's ever been. Heaven ought to be so real to you. It ought to seem like one step into eternity is not very far. Heaven ought to be so real to us, we ought to be able to see ourselves on the shores, at the gates of heaven. We ought to be able to see ourselves there, and it's coming, and it's not very far away. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with these words. Because the ascension makes us this promise that heaven is real. For those that know Christ as their Savior, for those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, there's a paved road to heaven that Jesus has already traveled. That's good news. See, why? How is that? That's good news because he knows the way. Christ knows the way. Have you ever gone somewhere you've never been before? And even though you might have a GPS, and even though you might have your wife navigating you in the car, even though you might have those things, you just kind of, he's already traveled up there once. Hey, he knows the way. That's good news today. Jesus Christ knows the way. I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure you'll be traveling that path someday? There's a thing that we call the Romans Road. The Romans Road. Maybe you've never heard of the Romans Road before. You say, what is that, Pastor? The Romans Road is a grouping of scriptures out of the book of Romans. There's several of them, between 5 and 10 scriptures out of Romans. that Paul the Apostle, who wrote the book of Romans, he takes us on a path, a road, if you will, to know for sure that we're going to heaven. That Romans road today, I want to share that with you quickly. The first verse we want to stop at, the first intersection, is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you want to get to heaven, you must stop at this intersection. You must, if you bypass this intersection, you will not go to heaven. You must understand this morning that you and I and every human being on this earth, including the Pope, including Mother Teresa, and anybody else who's ever lived, save Jesus Christ, is a sinner. For all. The Bible says, for all have sinned. You might not know what a sin is. You know that you're a sinner, but a sin is very simple. It's breaking God's laws. Every time you lie, every time you steal, or whatever, these are sins, and everyone is a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the next intersection that we must stop at is recognizing, for the wages of sin is death. Now that word death in the Bible is talking about a different kind of death. Everybody's going to die. Unless Jesus comes back in the rapture, you will die a physical death someday. That's a first death. That's a physical death that everyone must die. But the Bible also talks about a thing called the second death. The second death. In Revelations, if you want to study it out, in Revelations 20, 21, talks about the second death. It says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. The penalty for our sin is eternal separation from God in hell. That's what the Bible says. There's a cost to our sin. There's a wage to our sin. You must stop at the first intersection and admit, I know I'm a sinner. You must stop at the next intersection and recognize there's a wage, there's a penalty, there's a punishment for our sin. But oh, I love this next intersection. Romans chapter number 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. That means he demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even in our worst state, Christ didn't just die for the godly, for those that profess to be Christians, and God didn't just die for those who lived good lives and who did their best. No, no, no. Christ died for the most wicked of the most vile of human beings. Christ died for them. Why? To pay for our sins. To pay the wage. You must understand this morning that your sin is paid for. You cannot pay for it yourself. I said you cannot pay for it yourself. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. I'm a pretty good jump. Not really. I'm not that good of a jump. I can jump maybe 6 inches off the ground. I don't know. Brother Asprella, you're a pretty good jumper. I've seen you jump. Yeah, he said, okay. Yeah, sure. Brother Gonzalez on the platform, he's an old basketball player. You can jump pretty high. Jump pretty high. All of us can jump. Some of us higher than others. I'll be honest, I can't jump at all. I don't know why I said I could jump, because I can't. I can't even. I can't jump. Anyway, but you know what? No matter how high he can jump, and no matter how he can jump. Now, what if I had Michael Jordan here this morning? Now, he's getting pretty up there in age, but back in the heyday, Michael Jordan could jump pretty high, pretty high. Now, no matter how high these men could jump or anybody can jump, if we had the man here on the platform that could jump the highest, not any person on earth can jump over the building I'm standing in right now. These walls in the middle are 14 feet high. This building is 40 feet wide. There's not a person on this planet that can jump over this building. It's impossible. It's impossible. If you could pay for your sin, it would be more of a miracle for you to pay for your own sin, to earn your way to heaven, than someone jumping over this building. It's impossible. And while some of you might be better than others, and some of you might be a good citizen or help others and do good deeds, and that's great, and I think we ought to try to do that, but no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, it's impossible for you to pay for your own sin. You cannot earn your way to heaven. Christ paid for that on the cross. And then the next stop on the Romans road, the final stop here, is Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You listen to me this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Call upon Christ today to save you. Just ask Him to save you. At the end of the message today, I'll give you an opportunity to do that with us, and I'll help you with that if you'll stick with us. But it's so important to understand that because Christ is ascended, He's paved the path. He has given us a resurrection road to follow. Lastly today, because Christ has ascended, we have a responsibility to respond. We have a responsibility to respond. In verse 9, it says that while they beheld, he was taken up. Then look at verse 10 of our chapter here in Acts chapter number 1. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why ye stand here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Has anything ever happened to you in your life that you had to respond to, that you just had to respond? I remember when I proposed to my wife. We went out to Half Moon Bay, and it was a beautiful day. I was so nervous. I had the ring in my pocket. It was kind of bulging out of my pocket, and I was so nervous about asking her. I don't know why. I knew she was going to. She basically told me to ask her to marry her, but no, I'm just kidding. She didn't do that. I'm just kidding, honey. Anyway, no, I was going to ask her to marry me. I was so excited, and we're down there on the beach, and I remember when my wife was hitting me with seaweed. She kept whacking me with the seaweed, and I'm so nervous, and I remember I got down on one knee, and I got the ring out, Brother Asprelli, and I said to her, I asked her the question. I said, "Will you marry me?" And she didn't answer me for way too long. She didn't answer me. And so a few minutes go by, and you could tell she was excited, but she didn't say anything. And then finally, she says, "I don't know what to say." And I said, "Say yes." It's pretty simple, right? So she said yes, and I guess you figured that out. She said yes. But anyway, has something ever happened to you in your life where you just had to respond? You had to respond. This was one of those situations. The disciples were standing there, and they're talking with Christ. And then all of a sudden, he starts floating into the sky. How many of you have ever let go a helium balloon before? And you saw a plane crash? You let a helium balloon go, and you ever watch that helium balloon as far as you can watch it? And you just watch it, and you watch it, and you watch it until you just a tiny dot, and then all of a sudden it's gone. That's what happened to Jesus. He started going up into the sky, and they just watched him, and they watched him, and they watched him until a cloud, the Bible says a cloud, took him out of their sight. And they stood there, staring into the sky as he goes higher and higher and higher. And you know what? They had to respond. It wasn't like, "Well, I didn't see that." No, they saw it. They had to respond. I can hear Peter's response. "Did that really just happen? Did he just disappear?" And they're just standing there staring in the sky like you and I would have. They just kept staring at the sky. And then all of a sudden the angel appears. And here's what the angel says. "Why are you staring into heaven? Why are you standing here gazing into heaven?" It's basically like the angel shows up and says, "Okay, guys, show's over. It's time to get busy. It's over, guys. Christ is up here with us. It's time to get busy." I see that the way that these disciples respond to the ascension at first, it gives us a couple of lessons that we can learn today. First of all, these disciples, before Christ was ascended, they questioned what Christ was doing. They questioned all the things that Christ, his timing, all the things. Look at verse 6 with me. "And when they therefore came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" You see, the disciples were still hung up on why Christ hadn't set up the kingdom yet. They were struggling with the when. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm going somewhere with this. These disciples, they were struggling with the when. They couldn't understand why Christ was leaving now, why Christ wasn't setting up the kingdom at this time. And listen to the response of Christ in verse 7. If there was ever a verse that we needed in on April the 19th, 2020, if there was ever a verse, this is the verse that we need today. "And Jesus said unto them, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. We know that there's a lot of signs around us that Christ is coming back. Raise your hand if you agree with me. You guys sang that song not too long ago. Signs of the times are everywhere. And yes, we know that the signs of Christ's return are all around us today. We know that the stage is being set for Christ's return. And all God's people said, that statement ought not make us afraid. That statement ought to make us get our pom-poms out and start doing cheers. Amen. Come on, Lord Jesus, come back today, amen. Don't do that, amen, don't do that. Signs of the times are all around us today. The stage is being set for Christ's return. We know that the world is heading towards a one-world government, yes. Yes, a one-world currency and a one-world system of digital identification. We understand all of that. And it's a one-world philosophy and all the things in the news today, especially, we can not only see it, we can not only know that it's going to happen and guess, but we can actually see how it's going to happen. I mean, it's pretty amazing that we understand today that the stage is being set. We know that our freedoms, are you listening to me today? We know that our freedoms are being removed slowly and deliberately. our freedoms to worship, our freedoms to exercise liberty, our freedoms to believe in the very word of God, our freedoms to counsel those that oppose themselves, our freedoms to educate our own children are being taken away deliberately, slowly but deliberately. And we know that there will come a day, and I mentioned this earlier in the message, in the service today. There is coming a day, and I believe it could be very soon, that church leaders and Christians in America will have to make tough decisions about their religious freedom and their religious liberties. And I understand all that, and yes, all of that is true. But we do not know when it's going to happen. Are you listening to me today? If somebody tells you, I've done some research, I know when it's going to happen, you look at that person in the eyeballs and say this, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You don't know when it's going to happen. We know it could be soon, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be today. We don't know when it's going to happen because Jesus said, it's not for us to know. It's not for us to know. And while it is true that we could be looking at Christ's return any day, we have a responsibility to respond to the ascension. Somebody said in my presence recently, I don't remember who it was, but they made this statement, and I've been thinking about this statement in my mind over and over again. Here's what they said. I just don't know what we're supposed to do right now. I just don't know what we're supposed to do as Christians was the context. I just don't know what we're supposed to do. And I thought about that statement, and I thought about the disciples standing there looking up into heaven. I want to give you three thoughts today, quickly, real quickly. Three quick practical things of how we should not respond. Number one is this. We must refuse to be impatient. They said, when are you going to set up the kingdom? Why haven't you done it yet? What's going on, Lord? And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, for the Father hath put all of this in his power. But Christ does not stop there. Christ gives us the next important information that we need. One of the most powerful verses in all scripture, Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. You see what Jesus is telling these disciples is, don't get impatient. Don't worry about all of that. God has all of this planned out, but I have a plan for you in the meantime. I'm going to give you some power. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the greatest power this world has ever seen. I'm going to put the Holy Ghost inside of you, and I'm going to send you out to be witnesses unto me. Jesus Christ says this, don't get impatient. Don't be impatient, be a witness. Don't be impatient, be a witness. And today, while we sit in our homes and we become impatient with what's going on, and I understand all of that, may we not lose our witness. May we not lose our passion to witness. Jesus Christ told his disciples, yes, the end will come and I will establish my kingdom, but that's in God's timing. And while you're waiting on earth, don't get impatient. Be a witness. Be a witness. Hey, be a witness to the Amazon guy. Be a witness to the whoever comes by your house on accident. Be a witness to somebody. Share on Facebook what Christ is doing in your life. Maybe share a post about how God has spoken to you through his word. Maybe share the church page and let people know that church is live. Maybe you do get to come in contact with somebody. You can still be a witness. And may we not lose our passion to be a witness today. Christians are becoming impatient with God. Why? What's going on, God? How come you have not returned yet? Don't be so worried about his return. Be worried about what you're doing while you're waiting for his return. Because he's going to come. Are you listening to me today? He's going to come. And it could be soon. But we need to be a witness while we wait. God's plan is not for us to get impatient and to go move somewhere into the mountains and twiddle our thumbs until God comes back and just keep, well, is he coming? Nope, not today. All right. Is he here? Nope, not today. No. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be a witness today. The church had better, I said the church had better 2020 be a witness. Even more so, as we see the day approaching, we must be a witness. Don't lose your passion to witness. God has given you power specifically for one purpose, to witness. Another response I see here is actually kind of funny. Verse 10, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. I kind of find that funny. But number two, we must refuse to be immobile. immobile. Here's these men, they're standing into heaven. And I don't know, if that angel never came back, never came by and told them what to do, they might still be standing there today, looking up into the sky, wondering when Christ is going to come back. They were frozen, they were immobile, they were shell-shocked. And I understand that that's probably what we would have done too. But we must, as Christians today, refuse to be immobile. The angel shows up, he says to these men, hey, guys, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? Get busy, do what Christ has told you to do. He told you just a few minutes ago, he just told you, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost and you're going to be witnesses unto me over all the world. So stop staring up at the sky and get busy. And may I say today, may we as Christians stop staring up at the sky, waiting for Christ to return, because he is going to return. But that's not our job. It's just to stand here and wait for him to return, but to get busy. Don't be immobile. Listen, as Christians, we must be engaged in the gospel. As God's people today, we must stay engaged in the gospel. Engaged. Listen, Christianity was never meant to sit in a pew and just soak up as much preaching as we can get. Being a Christian today doesn't mean that we go to the church that has the best children's program or go to the church that has the best rock band. That was never Christ's design for the church. Christ's design for the church was for us to be a witness. To be a witness. To be engaged, as a matter of fact. I don't know if you could call yourself a Christian. I don't know if you could call yourself a Christian if you just go to church and sit. I don't know if you could say that, because as a follower of Christ, we're supposed to be witnesses for Christ. Amen. May we not be immobile. Immobile. The angel said, it's time to get busy. Wake up. Wake up. I can hear God telling me sometimes in my own head, get busy. Wake up. Get to work. Preach the gospel. Tell someone about me. Wake up, Perry. Hey, wake up, Perry. I can hear God's voice in my head all the time. Wake up. This is not why you're here, Perry. And we as Christians, we need to wake up. Refuse to be immobile. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a statement right now. When this whole thing ends, if it ends, and we come back together as a church, we're going to be more engaged as a church than we've ever been. And those that are not engaged in the church are going to be uncomfortable, because this is going to be a church that's going after people for Jesus Christ. We're not going to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and wait for God to return. We're not going to sit around and just be glad that we have what we have. No, sir. We're going to be witnesses until they put us in jail, until Christ comes back. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God gave us that power for a reason. He didn't give us that power to, I don't even know. He didn't give us that power to sit around. I'll tell you that right now. We need to keep moving for God. The disciples remembered at some point, they remembered what God said. And they remembered, okay, we got to get back to Jerusalem. And so they went back, and I want you to think about something for a second as I move on to the next point. Jesus was just executed. He was executed by the Roman government because he was a rebel, because he was causing an insurrection. If you study Pilate, you study what was going on at the time, you know that there was all kinds of uprisings, and Pilate was looking at losing his head, losing his job. And the Christians were just another rabble-rousing group, and so Jesus was executed. His disciples, when Jesus was arrested, fled, because they did not want to be put in prison. They did not want to be executed themselves. But at some point, the disciples decided that they were going to follow Christ and do what Christ commanded them to do, no matter what. We see the men getting together in Jerusalem. Before Christ ascended, they met in the upper room. The Bible says that they were in there. They were hiding for fear of the Jews. Jesus Christ showed up there, by the way, because no locked door could keep him out. But at some point, the disciples got to it. They got out there. They started preaching in the synagogues again. And even though there was the risk of execution, even though there was the risk of persecution. And so number three that I have written down today for us is this. Even as Christians today, we must refuse to be intimidated. We must refuse to be intimidated. We see the disciples as Christ is lifted into the sky. The very next thing that happens in Acts chapter number 2 is incredible. Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost, where Peter stands up and he begins to preach, and there was men there of all different languages, and as Peter is preaching, a mighty rushing wind comes into that room, and every single person in that room, even though they spoke a different language, heard Peter speak in their own language. That was the Holy Ghost coming. And God sent the Holy Spirit of God. And that's, at that point in Acts chapter number 2, is when Acts 1:8 became a reality. They received power. the Holy Ghost came upon them. And then they became witnesses. Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 people got saved that day. 3,000 people and many more. The Bible says that God added to the church as many as should be saved. That's still taking place today as churches around the world, missionaries around the world preach the gospel. God is adding to his church every single day. Because Christ ascended, you and I that receive Christ as our Savior, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you've accepted Christ, you've received that power. I've received that power. And by the way, I still believe that the church has the power of God on it today. But what is that power supposed to be used for? Spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel. Somebody say amen. That power is supposed to be used for spreading the gospel. That power that God gives us is supposed to be used for spreading the gospel. Whether it's over a live stream or underground or whatever needs to be done, the gospel must be preached. Jesus Christ is ascended. I have good news. He's ascended. What does that mean? He's ascended. It means this. We have a reigning ruler. He is our king. That's my king. Is he your king? He is our king today. Jesus Christ is reigning today. Hey, you feel a little bit nervous about what's going on? Don't feel nervous. You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because Jesus Christ is ascended, we have a resurrection road. We not only know that we're going, we have the promise of going to heaven, but we've seen it happen already once. He knows the way. And because he's ascended, we have a responsibility to respond. May we as Christians not be immobile. May we not be just immobile. But may we keep moving for God. May we keep spending our lives for God. May we as a church not be intimidated. May we keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, good news today. Christ has ascended. Every head bowed and every eye closed.